Are we going?
Into podcast.
Potter Who Cast.
Advertiser call.
Billis Major at your service.
Don't forget me.
Sarah, did you forget me?
Oh, let's go, that's class!
There is no such thing as...
Doctor Who 2010 Christmas Special. A Christmas Carol.
Hello. What if three spirits visited us?
And right now?
Yeah, and they all said, "You're in a Christmas carol."
What if they said, "It's a Christmas carol. It's a Christmas carol. It's a Christmas carol."
And then Carol said, I know. I went down so with my presents.
A joke so funny, they did it three times in a row.
Mm-hmm. Just as the three spirits arrived, and just as I'm flying around in my chair, like a ship at a control flying into a cloud barrier.
That sure is a thing that happens in this episode. they sure stretch that budget. Mm-hmm. Very thin.
But a Christmas carol. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I'd never seen this episode before.
Really? Wow. Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. This is my first time watching it. Do you want to know what I thought about it?
We'll find out soon.
What do you want to do? The gist first?
We'll get through everything first, because Michael Gambon on here. No, because it's broadcast 7/25th, 2010. What do you think was number one on the box office on Christmas Day 2010?
Jackass 3D.
No.
Was it a Harry Potter movie?
No, this is a movie where genuinely I don't think anyone remembers this movie at all.
Okay, go on. Who is it? You got to tell me.
It's a threequel.
That does not help.
It's a threequel that stars someone who I just referenced for a reason that he's also in this movie with one of his famous catchphrases that he says in every single movie he's ever been in. It also stars people. I'll give you the names of two people in this movie. Beyond Wow, there is Laura Dern. And,
okay.
De Niro, I think De Niro was probably number one in the call sheet.
Robert De Niro was number one in the call sheet in the movie with Laura Dern
and Owen Wilson. He's top billed on the poster. It's a threequel.
Oh, it's Meet the Fockers 3.
It's Little Fockers.
I saw that movie in theaters.
Well, you and it grossed $310 million worldwide. So you know, mm-hmm. you helped.
I think it's really funny how we always refer to those movies as Meet the Fockers, where Meet the Fockers mm-hmm. is the name of the sequel. You know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They met the Fockers.
I remember how one of the big jokes of that movie is that Ben Stiller's character's name is Gaylord.
Mm-hmm.
It's really funny. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. Ha 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 ha.
It's just side splitting. Toby Haynes, not Meet the Fockers or Little Fockers, that was Paul White's, and written by Stephen Moffat. In a sentence,
mm-hmm.
The Doctor teaches character actor Michael Gambon how to be a better person. So a ship full of people, including Amy and Rory, can land safely on the planet whose clouds he owns. You told me you had like a page of
yes. shit to say. I had almost 1,000 words.
Well, please say them, because I want to know if we agree or disagree.
Oh, well, I really like this. I'm a sucker for Christmas Carol. I love Christmas Carol. It's one of my favorite stories of all time. And I think something I love more than seeing a different take in Christmas Carol is when they do a take on Christmas Carol where the characters know they're doing Christmas Carol. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot of like, it's not just this episode in particular. It works on an emotional level, but it also works on like, oh, this is that part from Christmas Carol level, which I enjoy. I can understand how some people look at that and be like, I hate this and I want you to die. But I liked it. What did you think?
You know what? I'm kind of mixed, to be honest with you.
Let me ask you, are you mixed because of the fucking fish?
No, but I will say, we got to talk about the CG of that shark and the fish, because it looks so different to like the CG on this. It looks like really weird. No, it's like one of my big problems, I think, is that I just don't really, that I don't buy the whole central relationship thing. It's just, I don't really feel invested. I think that's on a performance level. I think everything with Gambon's good. Whenever they cut away from Gambon to like, especially like the young adult Kazrin.
Gambon.
And those performances don't particularly work for me. And it kind of doesn't help kind of settle me on this conceit of them, you know, growing closer together, all this stuff. Gambon, though, does, I guess. Yeah,
I disagree.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I disagree.
Oh, well, let's
go. I think I do agree with you on a couple of things. I think the young adult actor who plays Kazrin cannot hope to compare to Michael Gambon. The kid actor is good. The woman, Abigail, is not that good.
No.
As a character. And it doesn't help that her arc concludes with her singing this song that I saw the confidential, and in it, Murray Gold is like, yeah, I did this in 2 days. And I was like, I can tell.
Yeah.
it's not your bet. It's not, let me just say, if she went, and I woke up today, like that would have been a little bit better. But I think that's not enough for me to dislike the episode, because the Christmas Carol stuff works so well. I think that moment when, I think the line, that did not happen, but it did, could be such a bad line. But Michael Gambon saying, but it did, is so good. And him playing this, he kind of remembers who he was before, but he's remembering all these things. And even though he remembers not remembering them, they still feel like real memories. And so when he's looking at the photos, the poorly photoshopped photos of Matt Smith and those other two actors, like, can we take a photo of you pointing at the green screen? All right, that's you in the Statue of Liberty. Can you take a photo of you with the Fed? That's you in Egypt. When he's looking at those photos and he goes like, oh, now I remember. And he started into, I think the moment this story got me, the moment I leaned in and I locked in, was when in the recording, he's watching the recording, and in the recording, they're inside the closet running away from the shark. And there's a moment where the doctor's going to open the door. It cuts to Michael Gambon, and Michael Gambon goes, no, doctor, don't open the door. And I was like, shit, they got me. That's really good. Because that's how I interact with Doctor Who, you know? Like, apart from like the level of, I want to say like, quote unquote, intellectual level of, I like these stories and these ideas, and I like it when, and I like that this show plays with so many different genres. There's also that deep connection of like, the show brings out the childlike part of myself. And that scene where Michael Gambon is going like, no, doctor, don't open the door, as if he's interacting with himself with an episode of the TV show. That is the part that I was like, oh, fuck, it got to me. I don't think it cleared the landing, per se, unfortunately. But I think everything surrounding Michael Gambon when he's in the spotlight is so good. I think also it's a very fun way to do the, because I feel like the biggest challenge they set up is, you know, you can't, they're doing Christmas Carol, you can't do the graveyard scene, which to me is my absolute favorite graveyard scene. I think the moment when Scrooge goes like, I promise you, spirit, I will live in the present, the past, the present, the future. It's like, I can be a good man. He's like begging for his life. I mean, just talking about it right now, I feel like it makes me choke up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think that to me is like such a wonderful moment of like seeing someone realize that like, oh my God, I have gone down the wrong path in life and I need, please tell me I can fix this. Please tell me I can fix this. And it's like, you can't do the graveyard scene with Kazran because he doesn't care about death. And so what they do is they show his kid self. And that's such a good moment. And I don't think he nails the landing. It doesn't really nail the landing. But I'm like, I gotta be like, fuck. That kind of works for me. It doesn't nail the landing. It's not as emotional as I think. Because if it really nailed the landing, I would have told you I have tears in my eyes. Because Christmas Carol is the one story that always gets me crying. Even if the version is very shitty, I watched the Jim Carrey Christmas Carol and I still cried. Because... there's something about that scene at the end when he comes back and he's like, I will live. Thank you, Jacob. Like thanking everyone. I love that scene. So I think the parts of this that are Christmas Carol, everything else feels like a hat in a hat. The fish never really work. The fish feel like a really like Moffat-y idea of like space fish or fish on a spaceship, you know, stuff like that. But everything else, I think, works for me.
I think, yeah, like, the scene that kind of really stuck with me is when the hologram of Amy shows up and you can hear the singing and he goes into the vault and, like, all the people are, like, singing in the vault.
Yes.
And then he gets stuck under the ship. Like, that, it does a good job of, like, inverting, like, the past, present, future ghost idea of, like, you know, he at one point is his own ghost, which I always love the idea of, like, you know, you're haunted by yourself.
Yes.
It's really good. I do I love that, like, the whole driving thing is like the doctor being like, okay, I got a Christmas Carol this guy really, really badly. That's my one play at the moment. My one gambit is just to make this guy thing. I will say, maybe you can explain this to me. Where was Rizzo the Rat?
Good question.
Yeah, because I was waiting for him to show up, and I was like, where's Rizzo the Rat? Mm-hmm. And he doesn't show up. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, the good thing, the thing that always gets me about the Muppet Christmas Carol, and I think that what this does not do, that the Muppet Christmas Carol does so well, is that the Muppet Christmas Carol is using the weird elements to highlight the Scrooge story, you know. You know, if you took just the Scrooge parts, you would be like, yeah, this is a Christmas Carol. But the fact that it's Kermit as Bob Cratchit, the fact that it's all these characters you know and love, and they're doing jokes, and but Michael Caine is taking it all seriously, it kind of highlights the fantasy and the weirdness of the story and makes it feel more real, weirdly enough, for me. I don't think this does that. I think the fish is supposed to be that version. The fish are supposed to be that. They're supposed to be like, look, he cares about the fish. That's why he's different from his dad. And by the way, I think it's amazing that Michael Gambon can sell that he's scared of a guy that is Michael Gambon in a goatee. Like when he shows up, I was like, oh yeah, I buy that Michael Gambon is scared of himself in a goatee. So I don't think I hate to harp on the fish, but really it is the part that really gets me, because the fish feel very, I can see them being like, the fish need to be here because we need to show that this guy is not that bad. Even though I think the speech of where he goes like where he realizes, when he does the quasi Sherlock thing, which by the way is really funny to be like, there's Moffat doing his Sherlock thing. But it ends with him being like, you did not slap. I think that was enough. That was that did more, and that worked more than all of the like liking the fish and wanting to help the fish did. And I also want to bring up the fish, because like the fish looks silly. And the weird thing is that the fish do not look good. But the weird thing about it is that that first shot right after the opening, where it pans down and it shows the machine creating the thing on space and it goes into the town. That shot is like weirdly stylized and colorful. And I was like, oh, we're going for like a stylized thing. Oh, that's very cool. And then it just goes to the fish and the fish are realistic. And I was like, PS2 looking motherfucker attacking the doctor. I don't know. It does feel like they were trying to go for like a whimsical, handcrafted look. There's this part in the Confidential. I did so much research for this random episode. There's this part in the Confidential where they talk about how the doctor and Catherine and Abigail driving the shark is a little model. And they film from afar and they like filmed the little model to give it a tactile, handcrafted feel. And it reminded me, and the thing is, I don't think they committed enough to it. Mm-hmm. I think they should have gone full stylized, because if they did go full stylized, I think we would have gotten something like the Community stop motion Christmas episode, where they commit so much to the bit that you forget that you're watching a sitcom. And that's kind of what I think this episode should have been. You should have essentially forgot you're watching Doctor Who for a bit. You should have just been like, this is just a sci-fi Christmas Carol. And I feel like I don't know if it was a budget thing or a production design thing, because I think the production design does really work in this episode, but I don't think they went far enough. And the fish, both in a plot and in an aesthetic sense, really stick out like a sore thumb.
Mm-hmm. The thing with the fish, to me, is that it feels like they accidentally put in, like, you know, the like third or fourth layer of the model rather than like, the whole model, like the CG model, because like the shark has like that really weird, like, jerky movement whenever it moves. Right. It has the PS3 texture to it that like nothing else has. The whole thing has like a weird like blue and like yellow grating over it, like that isn't on any of the other episodes that Toby Haynes does. It's the same, as far as it's the same DP, but like for some reason this car has that really kind of like spoken of melancholic grade on it, which works a lot of the time, but sometimes, especially with the fish and the shark, it just makes it look even worse. It makes it look like the screen's been dimmed, maybe to hide the CG, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, like... Christmas was cancelled. You know, Christmas, they cancelled Christmas. They cancelled Christmas.
Watch this one in Christmas?
No.
No?
No.
Which one do you watch during Christmas?
The new one. I don't watch any of the old ones during Christmas.
Oh, good point.
They don't make me feel Christmassy. I don't know what it is. It's the one
that's
thing.
That's a very good point. None of the fucking Christmas specials really feel Christmassy.
Yeah.
I never really clocked that, but you're right. You know, like I'm thinking about the RTD specials, and they have Christmas elements, but I don't watch them and I go, Christmas. I watch them and I go, Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is the closest they got to that. They got so close to making an episode that felt like Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But then they didn't. They chose not to, like... They chose not to go as deep. And you know what? Maybe I'm, like, doing that thing I don't like it when people do, where you don't... Where you're refusing to meet the show on your level. Mm-hmm. On the show's level. But I do feel like... I do feel like there's enough here that I'm like, they clearly want to be whimsical. They clearly want to be this, but they're just not going the full way. Like, they're just not going full. Mm-hmm. And the parts where they do go, and the parts where they do things that are like, the parts that I do things that are like Christmassy and whimsical. That's why I really like the scene where it's the Ghost of Christmas Present scene. You know, you expect the usual to be, he's going to go to the Christmas, he's going to see everyone else's Christmas, and he's going to like see people having fun and making fun of him. But instead, all he sees are just like the people that he's killing through his actions, which is the same result, but it's not Christmassy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not as Christmassy as it could be.
Mm-hmm. Is there an argument to be made in like a very strange way that the Tiny Tim of the thing is Abigail?
Right.
Because
she's not an actress, right?
She's an opera singer. It's just, I think this is her first like acting credit, Catherine Jenkins.
She has a great voice.
She does, but unfortunately the performance is kind of like, I mean, she doesn't really have like that many scenes where she has to like do stuff, but, like,
right.
It's not the best. I mean, as I said before, the young adult Catherine isn't the best either. He's been in Big Finish, I think, as Catherine. I think they did like a return.
I don't want that. I mean, I like that. I very much like that. This is one of those stories where it's like, hey, the Doctor has a time machine. You know,
mm-hmm.
He can do these things. Like, even while it's crashing, he can still like have fun and like do a couple of crazy little things. Like, he has this entire Big Finish box set of adventures in the seconds that the thing is crashing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God! I just saw that. In what episode he comes back? Oh, he comes back in the fucking Winston Churchill box set. What the hell?
Young Winston meets young Catherine. I mean, speaking of like box set stuff, like the pool party with Marilyn is a fun scene, but it also feels like the kind of thing that will happen in like one of those like Churchill tape things.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Again, I've come up with a new thing that I like to use that I've been using for the recent because we're recording this. As we're recording this, we're 1 day away from Dot and Bubble coming out, which I don't know about that one. I got good hopes, but Russell T. Davies doing Black Mirror is making me go a little bit. Mm. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. We just saw 73 Yards. And I think when I watched 73 Yards, I told you, very Big Finish, parenthesis, complimentary, which is what this episode felt like. It felt like, hey, why not just have a moment like in the middle? Like, why not just have this adventure, that these year-long adventures that take place in the span of seconds?
Mm-hmm.
It's a really fun idea. The thing about Abigail that you were bringing up is that at no point did I understand why she didn't tell them very early on that she is dying and she has a couple of days left. Additionally, why was she frozen with only a couple of days left? You know, it's like saying, I mean, I get it. You kind of want to enjoy the most of your time. But I feel like they never really explain why she, what the name, the things, it, the things on her frozen whatever box are. You kind of like have a grasp of it because you understand the genre, you understand the concept, you're like, it's ticking down her clock, right? It's really obvious. So the fact that it takes so long for them to say it, and then that Kazran also takes very long to say it to the Doctor, it's like, I don't know. The whole time, I think Abigail and the fish have a very similar problem to me, which is that I feel like the best episodes are the ones where you forget that they're written by a person. And I can see the writer being like, and now we need the fish to do this so that Abigail can come out and sing to the shark. You know, it feels, I need to do this. I need this to happen. As opposed to how it feels when it's just Michael Gambon, where it really does feel like this person is reacting to events in real life, even though they are a character.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. It's just like, yeah. I don't know. There's so many just bits and pieces in this where, like, I'm, you know, thumbs up, you know, great, yeah. Great, good thing. And there's so many things where I'm like, I don't know. And like,
is Amy and Rory that, one of those things you're like, I don't know.
That bit's like, I understand why it's there, because it. They need something to cut back to those scenes, and they need someone there. But like, those two guys were there for like maybe an hour on a Tuesday, filming, and then they were done. There's no real like stuff in the tube. That's fine, because like I understand the purpose of why they're there and why they're doing stuff. I don't know. There's just so much stuff. The line I never met anyone who wasn't important. That was a bit that became a big thing.
Oh yeah.
Back then, I remember that was like on all these like tumblers and all these like, you know, posters and stuff. It's a good moment, I guess. Catherine's name is Sour Dick, which is fun. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's never really been one where I've been like, you know, overly enthusiastic, but also like I don't hate it. It's like a solid 7, I guess, for me, if I had to like put a number on it. Like it's not like, you know, I'm not like shaking my fist and being like, you know, get out of here. Boo, Kaz, no.
I was saying Kaz Bran.
I feel like I'd like if there was more just Gambon, and also more if it was if it was just more kind of Kazran focused at times rather than being like, you know, popping around here and there. Maybe
the idea of going back in time and interacting with her past self, is like, you know, it's great. It's just that they kind of replaced the fun of that sequence in Christmas Carol is you have seen Scrooge be like this cantankerous, dickish guy, and then he goes back and past, and he's like, "Oh, there's my old headmaster. Oh my God, there's my old teacher. Oh my God, I remember." You're like, "Oh, he's a person too. He's a person. He has emotions." And I feel like they kind of do this with Kazran by having him react, but it's not enough because he's kind of sidelined. And the past part takes up so much of the episode. The present is like 5 minutes, the future is 3, and then it's so. And then we got to get the shark, you know? I guess, I don't know. I still like it. I still like it because it's the most Christmassy of all the specials. But then again, I have not seen most of the Moffat. Well, I have. I've seen Last Christmas. I've seen the 12 ones. I have not seen the 11 ones. For some reason, I skipped all of them.
You haven't seen Time of the Doctor at all?
No, I've seen Time of the Doctor.
That's a Christmas. That is a Christmas special.
That's the problem we're talking about. They feel less like they're Christmas specials, but they feel less like Christmas things and more Doctor Who things that aren't Christmas.
Widow Wardrobe and Snowman do have Christmas vibes to them. Widow Wardrobe probably the closest because they go to Narnia. But yeah, I don't know. I really don't like. I'm gonna sound like so dismissive. Like I'm not against. It's just like I have nothing to delve into because I just have like this general apathy towards this one, and like. There's just, like, I just don't have much to give it or much to take away from it. Just like,
right?
It's just like, you know, like I happily watch it, but like I'm not like, you know, it's not like the first thing that comes to mind in terms of like throwing something on to enjoy, you know.
I do feel it's. I want to see them do this again. Not this specific story, but I want to see them do Christmas Carol again. I'm very curious as to what that looks like. I don't know. I just think Christmas. I just love Christmas Carol. I feel like we've made that clear. I just cannot emphasize enough how much I fucking love Christmas Carol.
Did you watch the Guy Pearce one where he pisses?
No, I don't. I don't fucking know. I'm not gonna do that shit. Sorry. Even I have my limits. Like I every year I see. Oh hell yeah, Scrooged. I love Scrooged. The scene in Scrooged where he sees, what's her name? She was in Suspiria. What is her name? Because I think Scrooge does this thing that I think no other, very few versions of Christmas Carol do, where they show Scrooge's influence in other people and how it's changing them into like bad people.
Oh yeah,
and like Karen Allen. Yeah. And he sees Karen Allen like being like, "Oh, I hate poor people." And at one point she's like laugh and she looks awful and garish and she's laughing but she's crying, and you cut to Bill Murray's like, "Oh, what have I done? Like what have I done?" I don't know. I just feel like I'm sorry to turn it into like the Christmas Carol loving hour. I just feel like That story is so beautiful. I there's this version of A Christmas Carol, this modern movie starring two modern comedic actors. One of them is a comedic actor, the other is someone who does action comedy mostly. And the entire concept of that movie is that the idea of someone changing over the course of one night is ridiculous, and actually you should just have little changes over the course of the rest of your life. And I'm like, I hate this centrist Christmas Carol bullshit. No, Christmas Carol is about how you need to fucking change now. Like, it's an awful human being given one last chance to realize that he's an awful human being. He needs to change. And there's something about the fact that he does change over the course of one night, that he does become a better man. And just like, that fills me with such warmth. And I'm Jewish, so that's what Christmas is to me. That warmth of like, when you see him, when you see any version of Scrooge after, I again, I'm getting choked up just thinking about that scene in Muppet Christmas Carol where Beaker gives him the scarf. And he's like,
thank you so much.
Yes, that's the part where I'm like, fuck, like, that's what it is. Like, he's opening himself up to other people, and he's like, I don't know, that part just always gets me. That's why I love this story. And to me, that's kind of what's missing here. It's like they kind of need to be a little bit Doctor Who-ish, but it should be Christmassy. And I don't know. I just wish it was, like you said, I just wish there was more Michael Gambon.
And the bit where he brings the ham to...
It's Christmas. I think she's very cool about it. He's really good. I also I do think it's two funny things I want to comment. So one of, why is Kid Kazran in the last part of the episode? Like, why is he there? I don't know. He's like, it's like bro thinks he's part of the team or some shit. Like, why is he there? He's not doing that. He's literally just staring. And the other thing I think it's funny is we all agree that Kazran is a very lucky motherfucker, because if he got like 12, if 12 was the one, and he was like, I'm not going to throw, he would die. 12, six would kill him. You would just see a shot of six pushing him into a vat and being like, I can use, like, six would kill him, seven would kill him, nine would kill him, one would make him kill himself, and 12 would make it so he never existed. So he is very lucky that he got 11. I just speak a lot about just him being like, oh, you can't Christmas Carol me, Doctor. And it cuts to 12, and it's just like, you just see like Kazran dissolving into thin air as 12 watches. But other than that, what else can I say? I like that there's a little Jaws reference in the soundtrack when the shark is going for the sonic screwdriver. It's very brief, but you can kind of hear them going doo-doo, and I was like, hey, that's cute. I like that. I think the scene where the doctor opens the door and Kazran is grown up and Abigail goes, damn, that's a funny scene. That's a really good reaction. I also was realizing at the, I think the cold open is very detached from the rest of the episode. It's really weird. It's a weird cold open. But I was realizing how sort of rare it is for us to see Star Trek spaceships in Doctor Who. And by that, I mean spaceships where the bridge is, they're all sitting in front of a screen, you know? Is it just me? Because it always feels like that whenever we see spaceships in Doctor Who, they're always around the console because they probably don't have enough money to build the bridge. But but we always see a console. And I was like, wow, this would be one of the few, like, one of the few spaceship bridges I've seen in Doctor Who, but there's probably more that I don't remember.
The spaceship bridges, my favorite bridges, brother, next to Bo.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up. That's a good one. And finally, this episode ends with a coming soon season 6 trailer that is so Moffat coded. There's a Fez. X's are cool. The doctor says he's been running. River Song shows up. Bum, 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 bum. And of course, it ends on a very creepy monster in the distance. And that led me to think, I know we're going to talk about the silence when we do talk about the silence. But what came first, Slenderman or the silence? Slenderman, right?
I think so. Hang on, let me use my incredible power of Slenderman. Yeah, 2009 was Slenderman.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Shame on you, Stephen Moe. We caught you.
You're over. You're canceled.
It's very clearly, the Silence are very clearly inspired by the Slender Man because they're wearing suits. That's all. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're wearing suits and they have weird faces. Well, what I like about this, again, we're going to talk about the Silence when we talk about the Silence, but what I like about them is that they are Slender Man, but then their heads are like 50s aliens.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, that's funny. They're like a mix of both.
Mm-hmm. And they sound like General Grievous as well.
Yes.
Maybe they have robot asthma as well.
Maybe.
We'll see.
I never noticed the Silence have eyes.
Yeah.
What the? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Good for them. Should I get a Hallmark Say Christmas ornament Doctor Who silent gift for Doctor Who fans?
Yeah.
It's $9. All right. Yeah. I'm buying it.
There you go.
And what a better way to end Christmas than by me buying a Silence Hallmark ornament.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is bullshit. The TARDIS one, the TARDIS Hallmark Christmas decoration is $95. The fourth Doctor one is $34. There's no, the 13th Doctor one is not available. Why is the Silence only $9?
There's probably a defect somewhere, or just they didn't sell it at all. So they were like, you know,
probably.
Yeah.
Do we want to take this opportunity to talk about the current season? When is this coming out? This is Christmas in July, right?
This is. It could potentially be June 24th.
Okay, well, it's either Christmas in July or Christmas in June 24th. What do you think of season... Fuck, what is the number again?
One.
14. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. Sorry. Season 14.
Yeah. I've enjoyed it. I don't know. There's been, like...
Are we back?
I think we are softly back, but there's just... I don't know what it is. Like I'm enjoying it.
What?
But I feel like there's an element that I'm missing that I don't know what it is, but I'm really enjoying it. I loved really liked Space Babies. Right. Really loved Devil's Chord, really loved Boom, really liked 73 Yards. Very apprehensive about Dalton Bubble at the moment.
Yes.
Rogue, we'll see. Rogue I kind of am kind of excited for, and the finale I'm very excited for. But mm-hmm. Yeah, how about you?
I think the thing you're feeling is the fact that it's only 8 episodes.
Mm.
It's weird because the episodes themselves haven't changed, but I can feel it. It's like there's something in the air. And the episodes, there's just 8 episodes and it feels like they're kind of like a little bit more constrained, you know, like a little bit more squished together than usual. Not just because Space Babies has them literally speed running the first 3 episodes of a companion. Mm-hmm. Like, literally. And here's the key. And bye. I don't know. It does feel a little bit squished. I do understand why it's like this. They really just wanted to get back into the groove of things. I hope. I mean, do we know if the next season is going to have 13 episodes again? Or
no, it's 8 again.
It's still going to be 8? I don't like that.
Mm.
I don't like that. I don't know. Is it just me? I just don't like that. I'm like, you gotta get more. You gotta get more.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. That's just me.
It's, yeah, I think for the moment it's gonna stick at 8, and then if they can get more, they'll get more, but...
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just glad there's Doctor Who coming out again. I'm just glad. Mm-hmm. Television should come out once a year. This mm-hmm. is a hot take, but television should come out once a year. You agree with me, right? Television... If it's a show you like, there should be a season a year, and it should be 22 episodes. It does suck that Doctor Who missed that era in the 90s where it was like, you get 8 seasons and 22 episodes each.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a shame, because I think we would have gotten so much bullshit with that era. We would have gotten like clip shows. The Doctor needs to sit down and think about his life for a moment.
Mm-hmm. Paul McGann meets... Mulder and Scully, Paul McGann meets.
Listen. Yeah. I'm telling you. Ever since they had that line of Space Babies, where the Doctor is like, "Star Trek, we got to visit those guys sometime." Mm-hmm. I'm telling you guys, fucking hurry up! Star Trek: Strange New Worlds meets Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. You got to do it. You got to do it quick, because mm-hmm. they're leaving soon. It's kind of perfect crew to do it.
It's kind of fun. I don't think I've seen anyone reference this, that like Space Babies, that exact term was said in Picard Series 3. And it's an episode that contains a reference to Star Trek being real.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah. It's a nice little synergy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am so excited for mm-hmm. the rest of the season. But I am also so excited, you know, for what? I'll tell you what I'm excited for. I'm excited for season 6 of Doctor Who, series 6. Mm-hmm. This is a series I have rewatched. I think I say this about every series, but this is the series I have rewatched the least. I'm trying to think of any episodes of this series I have rewatched. I haven't even rewatched the ones I liked. Like, I haven't even rewatched The Doctor's Wife. Although mm-hmm. I am very curious to rewatch The Doctor's Wife and think, is that still good? Is that still good? I'm very curious.
Well, we're gonna meet Nixon. We're gonna meet Avery the pirate. We'll have so many anecdotes about Hugh Bonneville and I being online friends for a very brief.
Wow! Moment.
And also me and someone from the God Complex being online friends for a very brief moment.
I don't care about that. I care about Hugh Bonneville.
I know, but still. but yeah, series 6 part 1 coming soon.
Wait, what do you mean part 1?
Oh, well, sometime, you know when a magician puts their assistant into a box on stage and takes a jaw and like cuts them in half to be like, look at these two halves, isn't it amazing? You have two halves of something. That happened.
Okay, well, then what are we going to do in between the parts? We're just going to wait, right? We're just going to wait.
We're going to say goodbye to Torchwood by going to America.
No.
America. No. Yeah.
No. No.
We'll double those up. No. We'll double those up. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's what the 73 Yards woman is saying. She's saying, do you want to watch Miracle Day? And everyone's like, no.
She's saying, check Wayne Knight's IMDb page from 2011. Check Wayne Knight's IMDb page in 2011. Check Wayne Knight's IMDb page in 2011. Check
Disengage.
Wayne, and then they all run away because they're like, oh no. And then, yeah, Kate Stewart's like, how dare you? How dare you not like Wayne Knight in 2011?
You know what's weird? People are like, what did the 73 Yards women... 73 Yards women. Why did it say? Hold on a second.
Why did 73 cross the road?
Let me try this again. Sorry, hold on. A lot of people are like, hold on. A lot of people are like, oh, why did, what did the 73 Yards woman say? And you know what? I know what she said. You know what she said? She said,
oh my. What? No.
Thanks everybody for listening.
No.
David needs to run away now.
I'm running away to Wayne Knight.
Oh no.
Let's end on some Christmas carol-y. I don't know. The love was found. The love was found. Bye.
Someone who touched my soul and made my world brand new. There's part of me, a place inside that now belongs to you. The love we found, the love we found, we carry with us, so we're never quite alone. The sweetest dream.
Next time on Pod Tour, Who Cast?
This is the Doctor's darkest hour. He'll rise higher than ever before and then fall so much further. This is the day he finds out who I am.
Hey, bye, bye, Grump.
Okay, where are we?
Where we've never, ever been.
Look how cool this stuff is!
Fear me, I've killed hundreds of Time Lords.
Fear me, I've killed all of them.
Doctor Who, coming soon to BBC One and BBC One HD.